All right, it's Friday. About time.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Sportsnet 590, the fan of Sportsnet. Oh, hi, Mom, by the way. I haven't said hi to my mom for...
She's mad at you?
No.
Your mom's great.
My mom never gets mad.
What happened to you?
My mom never gets mad
at me. I know.
I'm the perfect son.
Yeah. You leave her alone?
You're such a knob. The Jays start a three-game series against the San Diego Padres tonight.
What can go wrong? They're facing a knuckleball guy.
Huh?
Yeah, they are, buddy.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, they are.
Oh, no.
And you know the worst thing about this guy is he only throws his – he's got five pitches. He only throws his knuckleball about 35% of the time. Oh, yeah. And all the other ones, he throws about the same amount of time. So it's like a plethora of just different speeds and ball moving all over the place.
They're going to be wearing hazmat suits up to the plate. All that slop being thrown at them. That's got 15-day hitting slump mixed written all over it, right? You ever face a knuckleballer?
Absolutely.
How many times?
It's terrible.
More guys, there used to be more knuckleballers than there are now.
I mean, they were very rare. But, again, it's like you got one chance. It's scoot closer to the plate, scoot closer to him, choke up, try and pull it. Like, it's not like it's rocket science. Like, it's going to move a little bit. It's going to move late. It's going to be really slow. Try and see it up.
Let it go.
Like, don't overthink it. Have a little fun with it. But the problem with this guy is he throws a lot of other pitches. He just sort of sprinkles in the knuckleball. It's like he pitches with the knuckleball and four other pitches.
What can go
wrong? So, yeah.
How do you get ready for a knuckleballer in BP?
You don't.
I always told the story about every team used to have a guy who could throw a knuckleball during BP. Like, when I covered the Expos, Tim Wallach would throw a knuckleball during BP. I think the Jays had somebody who would do it.
It's dumb.
Just for
that's not yeah like that. Why would I want to be in a slump in batting practice? Like that's to get me happy and feeling good and frisky and boy rotation's good. And look how far the ball's going, and then I'm swinging and missing on knuckleballs in batting practice.
What could go wrong?
I took pride in being the best 5 o'clock hitter in baseball, Jeff.
Yeah, you've told me how many hits often.
I got at 5 o'clock? A ton. Ton.
Yeah. You're the guy the hitting coach would be behind the cage, and everybody be ooing and aahing. The hitting coach would look over and tap his wrist.
I never will forget when I played for the Blue Jays and Gibby used to always stand behind the cage and act like he was doing something. You know, he'd lean up and he'd half asleep. And I'm hitting balls in the fourth deck at the Rogers Center, and I'm like, hey, you want to change the lineup? And he ain't even paying attention. It's like, it means nothing.
What do you think about that, Gibby?
It really does.
Hey, Bob, why don't you just not worry about it?
That's right.
How dare you laugh at me?
I miss that.
Do you really?
I kind of miss the
We should get him on.
Gibbyism.
Would he come on?
Hey, my boys, hi.
he's got enough to worry about right now with the Mets bench coach. Anyhow, first of three games against the Padres tonight. First pitch. Oh, hell. They didn't put it down in the sheet.
It's late.
First pitch is 5 in the morning, Toronto time. No, I think it's let me look here.
10:07
or 10:30. This is just such a stupid thing. It's just such a 9:40 Eastern tonight.
Even worse.
Dumb.
Traffic.
That's just dumb. Anyhow, 9:40 tonight on Sportsnet. It'll be Yariel Rodriguez against Matt Waldron. John Schneider, the manager of the soon-to-face-a-knuckleballer Blue Jays, will join us at 3 o'clock. Mark Grant, Padres TV analyst, former MLB pitcher, will join us via Zoom. And we'll talk to him about the Padres, who, I mean, the start of the year when we had to do our picks, I said I thought an awful lot of people were sleeping on the Padres this year. I like the Padres.
Yeah, I picked them. I like the playoffs.
I like the Padres. I did too. I think they're...
They got some really good hitters. They got some aircraft carriers in the middle of their order. Yeah. And they got Fernando Tatis Jr., who is, I mean, he does it all. Like, it's, you know, he sort of left a bad taste in your mouth by getting suspended, mm-hmm. those kind of things. But you can't argue when you watch him play how he does things and how easy it looks on the field. And he's really right now doing some things offensively. So when your offense is not scoring runs and you're running into a team that leads baseball in scoring runs, that's a lot of pressure on a pitching staff to go in there and keep that team from scoring. It's not going to be the easiest thing to do.
Shai Davidi will join us at 2:30 as well. We'll get him to stop eating fish tacos for a minute and join us. It's all I think of is San Diego fish tacos. Best fish tacos on the planet. Without question.
Mm.
Without question.
Couldn't tell you. Meat and potatoes, me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's, I don't know why, but it's like so much of my baseball memories revolve around food. That might tell you something, eh? So, we'll go to the back leg line as well, 416-413-3959. We'll do that later in the show. We got lots of comments and questions to go through.
Interesting comments.
Very interesting.
That third one down on this sheet here is pretty interesting.
Why don't you read it?
I choose not to.
Okay.
I like my job.
Yeah. That's probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you expecting from Mr. Yariel Rodriguez?
Yeah, tonight? See, I don't think it has anything to do with him. Like, I really don't. I think offensively, I mean, again, we've talked about this till we're running out of ways to talk about it. And you just look at the two different teams, Jeff. And, you know, you sit down because John's coming on and you're trying to figure out ways and things to ask him. And, you know, most of the things are good with the pitching staff and they're starting to play defense a little bit better. And, you know, those throwing issues they had the first couple of games of the season, they don't have those anymore. You know, they tend to baseball IQ on the bases a little better. So all those things are positive. And you flip it over on that other side of the ball. And I just don't know how you'd be positive about that. I mean, basically, they really do nothing well. I mean, again, the last seven games, their first and on base percentage at .365. Other than that,
well, that's something.
Yeah, but
it's that's something it's, you can hang your hat on that.
It's the bottom of the order, and it's one guy at the top of the order, and then there's everybody else. And everybody else is supposed to be driving in the guys that are getting on base, and they're just not doing it. You know, that's it. I try to be as positive as I can most of the time.
Most of the time.
But, since about, what was it, June of last year, this is becoming a habit, not a, you know, just an occasional occurrence. So,
and, of course, when I brought up on the day Danny Jansen returned, when I said to you or when I asked you, now that Danny Jansen's back and the lineup is complete, would you foresee any changes made to the lineup? Why would you do that? Who are you going to move? Today you come in, you say, you know what they should do? They should move Justin Turner to the number two spot.
Yeah, why
That's
not?
What you said.
Oh, you know
well,
why?
You ripped
you
me
know
for
why?
Suggesting well, that there would be a change. What changed in what well, changed in three games? They won two of those three games, and now you change your mind.
Yeah, Vladdy's hitting .143 with runners in scoring position.
Justin Turner's not.
He's hitting over .300.
They won two of three games
again,
against
the
Yankees.
When you look
and
at the other stats.
The third game. They could have swept it.
Like, I'm trying to answer the question. You won't let me. I mean, what? I mean, wow. you look, they're 22nd in total bases in baseball. They are 22nd in at bats between homers at 38.
Well, that's
so that's lineup. Every 38 at bats, they hit a homer. Why that's important and why I wanted to bring that up, you know who's first in baseball in doing that? The Orioles. They hit a homer every 21 at bats. That's the difference. And then they're 28th in average with runners in scoring position at .204. They're last in homers with runners in scoring position with a whopping one. And who's first? The Orioles with 8.
Yeah,
this is what I'm trying to say.
This is not a home run hitting team.
Well, you want to make the play. You want to make the playoffs with a minus run differential. I mean, it's minus 17 now. Like, this is the thing, right? Is how does it get better? Like, the at bats, the way they got the lineup constructed with where they put Vladdy in the two hole. Like, the two hole because of what the bottom of the order's doing and the leadoff hitter's doing, getting on base a ton. Vladdy's coming up and he's got the most at bats with runners to score. Position, hitting a whopping buck .143. Like, it's little things like this. I know, again, you say it's early in the season, but, you know, when you're fourth or fifth in your division and your division is supposed to be the toughest division in baseball.
Panicking. You think they're doing this in Tampa?
Panic. No, it's not panic.
Tampa?
Yeah, I think Tampa is sort of come to the realization that because of all the injuries, you could see them taking a step back. Like, realistically, going into the season,
That's not
sometimes
what you said.
Sometimes it's to the underground. Yeah, I know. Do you think the underground city cares what I say?
No, but that's
it's about
not,
what they're saying you, and what they're thinking.
You said you thought.
That's it.
Don't sleep on the Rays. I told you this is the year the Rays fall back to earth. Don't sleep on the Rays. Don't sleep on the Rays.
It's because it's always the Rays.
You're overreacting.
Rays always figure it out. Oh, maybe.
You're overreacting.
I hope so that I am. But this has been happening since June of
they're
last year.
And it's they're the game same, above 500.
And it's the same team.
They're game above 500.
How are they game above 500? Can they continue to do that all season? Like, you would think that would take a step back, no?
I don't know. Maybe it won't.
To think they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs, it better not. Like, again, like, this is sort of, you got to certain parts of the season be a little realistic and think, how does it get a little bit better? And some guys, like they were saying,
it's too early to be realistic.
It is?
Oh, yeah. It's way too early to be realistic.
Why? I mean, again, they added one guy. That's the only
Royals
difference.
The Royals are going to win the West.
That's the only difference in the
Central.
I mean, they got a better chance in the Central than they do in the American League East. That's the point. That's the difference. And the American League could be a little deeper because of the other teams that's gotten off to a quicker start.
That is true.
So you're going to have to hit a little bit better.
That's true. The wild card picture could be messy.
You could almost say that the Jays are fighting for that third wild card spot with other teams
so.
That you may not have been pointing the finger at the beginning of the season. That's all I'm saying, because of the way some teams look. I'm just saying, this is what happens when we have John on and you want to ask him certain questions on what he thinks about his team, and then you do some digging into the numbers.
Padres have scored the most runs in baseball.
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, they're averaging a little 5.1 runs a game. Yeah. The Jays are averaging 3.8. They played two more games than the Jays did. So
their offensive numbers, they're solidly top five or top six in the majors in just about every.
Yeah, and I say if you're not going to hit home runs to the team, you better hit a really high average with runners in scoring position. And the Jays are 28th in baseball at hitting .204. So a lot of things got to get better here real soon.
Should we go to the back leg line?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the back leg line, shall we? 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. And Scott from Thamesford, Ontario.
Hey, Scott.
Just have a question about Vlad. I see Edwin Encarnacion is in...
Let it be
in town now, or was in town talking to Vladdy. Just want to know how many mentors the Jays organization has to bring in to talk to Vlad.
Too many.
And it's got to be pretty embarrassing, the Blue Jays that are all high on analytics, having to bring in outside people to talk to one of their players every year. Thank you. Have a good night, guys. Bye.
That's fair. Yeah, well, I mean, that's first of all, question. Edwin and Victor Martinez are paid by the team. They are part of they are advisors or their.
Yeah, and Edwin and Vladdy are neighbors in the DRT. You got to remember that. They're buddies. Like
they are neighbors.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I've seen it. I've been there. So it's, look, that relationship's been, there a long time. Edwin's seen him as basically growing up. They're running around together and families and all those things. Look, I think sometimes when you're struggling doing things that you are expected to do, you're searching for reasons. And if you can bring somebody in who will give you a certain word or a certain sentence or, maybe tell you how to hit a fastball consistently, that's the thing. They can bring in 5,300 people in here. Until he actually figures out how to hit a fastball better, I don't think it matters. And I will continue to be in that camp. I can't take him serious as a really, really good hitter, borderline great hitter, if he's hitting .270 on the fastball. I've done these numbers. I've told you these numbers a bazillion times. Since the really good season that he had where he hit somewhere in that .360 range.
In minor league parks.
Say that. Since then, it's been in the .270s, .280s, .290s. That's just not good enough for an elite offensive player. It's just not. And whether that's mental or mechanical or khakis or overwhelming him with information, this is what I said when I came in here and I was digging in these numbers. I was saying, if you got somebody this part of the season with the way your offense is looking that can give you better at-bats with runners in scoring position, I ain't saying it's long-term. We're past the feeling thing. or past worried about what people think about you as a manager or whatever that is. Well, it's about winning baseball
we
games.
Passed that last
and
year.
And if Turner gives you a better chance in the two hole, Turner can clean up different positions in the lineup because of what guys are doing in front of him. That's all I'm saying. And right now, Vladdy just looks really in between. And we have the same conversation all the time.
Well, we'll
and until he starts hitting fastballs.
We'll talk to
you
John.
You can ask
that.
Him about Vladdy.
But oh, thanks.
Well, you can because I've had conversations with John about Vladdy's
I will say
mechanics.
This, though. You know, to the caller's specific question, Edwin is paid by the team. He is a coach. He spent a lot of time last year with Aurelvis Martinez, their top position prospect. So when you see Eddie in the dugout or Victor Martinez in the dugout, keep in mind that they are team employees. Now, last year, when he brought Wilton Guerrero in and reached out to David Ortiz for help, like I said, I have no problem with guys. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to survive. I have no problem with that.
David's neighbors, too.
And David's, like, you know. But my point is, halfway through the season, if you are looking outside the organization for someone to help you, if I'm that organization, I've got to do some thinking.
Yeah, and again, I think sometimes we've got to be realistic to raise your hand and sometimes say that maybe, you know, with elite offensive players, at least that's what we think they are, most of the time you don't have to bring in 15 or 20 different people giving you 15 or 20 different answers because most elite offensive players fix it quicker than Barkers of the world.
Bruce from the French.
It's a great question, though, by the way.
It was a great question, Scott. Bruce from the French River in Ontario. French River, awesome. If you ever get a chance.
Sounds awesome.
Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Go canoeing in the French River. Bruce.
I know you guys like the odd cigar, but I just wonder if you have any funny stories about chewing tobacco, kind of a baseball tradition in years gone by. Thanks.
I mean, I got one. You got, okay.
I got one. The very first time I met Rod Carew. Rod Carew's a big tobacco chewer, like a
he said it helped him see because it kept his eye
whatever.
It kept his eye stationary.
I was wearing my white pants.
Yeah.
And I wasn't playing that day for whatever reason. Like I was the prospect. I was playing first. Yeah. You know, I was in between. I was all over the place offensively. Like and I just wasn't playing that day. And I remember I was to the nines, but I was, you know, tucked in and my shoes are sleek.
You look sharp. I
walked by with my, you know, as clean as you can get white pants and Rod Carew just went. And it was all down like one leg of my pant for like a foot. I never will forget that. I had no idea what to do. What do you say to a Hall of Famer if they do that? I appreciate that. That's exactly what I said to him. I appreciate that.
That's
the only story I got.
I had a really nice pair of like suede Hush Puppies dress shoes.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I was in it, which you should never.
Ever.
Ever wear in a dugout.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
That's amateur.
So I'm wearing it in the dugout, and Lenny Dykstra, God bless him, in the visitor's dugout, like that, all over the shoes, and I walk by. I turn and look at him, he goes, dude, sorry.
He didn't buy you a new pair of shoes or anything?
No, he just said, dude, sorry.
I can remember taking like a whole handful of dirt and trying to rub it on my pants to get it off or just sort of hide it.
I do remember.
Didn't work.
I do remember
he did it on purpose.
Tim Scott, who was a pitcher with the and with the Padres as well, he had this very programmed way of wrapping Wrigley's Double Mint and chewing tobacco and bubble gum together into a ball.
I've seen guys do that.
Yeah, and he did it one time. I just remember.
You did it?
He did one for me, and I stuck it. It lasted like a minute.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Get dizzy?
I got dizzy.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I had the gap in my teeth, so I could. So I got the stream going, but that was it.
Oh, okay. You look cool anyway, doing it.
Yeah. But, back in the day, like, God, all the baseball writers used to see guys.
Yeah, it's like greenies in the clubhouse. Yeah, everybody was doing it.
Used to see guys. I don't know about the writers. You see guys in spring training all the time. And then and then they came out with these
pouches.
Little pouches, which
it
are
is.
Just.
Well, that's, it's cleaner. It's cleaner, and it's supposed to be safer.
Yeah, that's like legalized pot. Once they legalize it or clean it up, what the hell's the point in doing it? Ernie from Cambridge, Ontario.
Ernie.
Speaking of cleaning it up.
Just want to ask, in your opinion, is there any general managers available that might be able to change the direction that this team is heading? These guys aren't easy to watch when they're winning, let alone losing. I'm just wondering, like, when do they make a change? Are they going to make a change? Should they make a change? Anyway, love the show. Thanks.
Yeah, Ernie, I'll tell you, I think I have a pretty good idea when a GM's going to get banged by an organization.
You can feel
in the past. I've been
feel
pretty
it
good.
Coming.
I got no clue. This organization, I just don't. I just don't.
We were thinking
I
it should have happened after the conversation last year that, you know, throw your manager and
yeah, but you know what?
But it didn't.
No, I don't. This organization's different.
It is.
It's run in a different manner, and it's not just this organization. I mean, I made the point about, you've got so many people making decisions right now that I think it's very easy to defend a job a guy has done. Like, what did Mark Shapiro say about Ross Atkins?
They made the playoffs the last couple of years.
And now people are going to roll their eyes. Yep. But you know what? They made the playoffs.
That's what he said.
And we spent 15 years saying, Jesus, if only this team could make the playoffs. So, I don't know. I thought last year was going to be a big year for the team. I thought, with the decisions that were made, some of the trades that were made, I thought this would be where the rubber meets the road. I just don't know. I honestly just don't know. Part of me thought, okay, maybe part of the issue is Mark Shapiro is so focused on this ballpark. Mm-hmm. It's not that he can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but maybe that was his area of focus. I just don't know. And I'll tell you this. I am going to throw this out there. The number of people on social media who say they should get rid of Ross and put James Click in there because it'll make it different. I got news for you. You're not going to have fewer khakis running around the organization if James Click is your general manager. Trust me.
Yep.
So, that's where I am. As far as there's someone available, I mean, who knows? Look around. There are a lot of the general managers that have been hired recently. You know who they were?
I still find it hard to believe that Ross is not sitting somewhere wherever he's sitting in the offseason and going, offensively, we're just not good enough. Why am I not going out and fixing it unless they're not allowing him to spend? Again, I'm not making excuses for him. I was the one that said, how does he keep his job after what he said about the manager at the end of the season? It's amazing to me that the numbers that you are seeing now are the same numbers that they were having 3 months at the end of the season last year. Nothing's changed. So I'm with you. I have no idea.
Let's go all the way to Chilliwack, B.C. Fine band, by the way, Chilliwack.
Is it?
Back in the day.
Never heard of it.
Chilliwack, B.C. Of course you have.
You guys have been talking about pitchers throwing 98 and how that attracts the fans and everything. But as a person that loves to watch pitching, I am totally amazed at how Chris Bassett goes about his starts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can really see on the mound how much he's thinking and comparing each pitch to what the hitter can do and so on and so forth. It's just very, like they say on the telecast, very cerebral. So it's awesome to watch Chris Bassett pitch. I think more pitchers need to be like that. That gives the viewer something to look at, and like lots of hard throwers, all they do is put their head down and throw the ball, right? So to watch Bassett work his way through a start is very interesting and awesome to watch. So thanks, boys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I you know, based on the conversations we've had with people the last couple of days, Kevin, I wonder if maybe, I don't know, are we going to see more guys, especially late in their career, sacrifice velo to become more like Chris Bassett?
Now, you got to remember, Chris, when he was with Oakland, was a hard thrower until he had Tommy John and said, I need to fix this if I want to stick around and be a big leaguer for another 10 years.
He didn't intentionally set out to be this.
You want to know why? Because it's a quicker way to make a bunch of money. Yeah. If I throw hard, it's easier for me to get you out. I don't have to work as hard to do it. Now he has to work tremendously hard. Why if I'm a pitcher and I'm watching Chris and I don't have to do that, why would I do that?
I think back to
when
the Jays signed Chris Bassett, I think it was John Harper, one of the New York writers, but we talked about Chris Bassett, and his point was, thing with Chris Bassett is you get the sense he's always in survival mode.
That's fair.
He wasn't saying that negatively, but no. He was saying you always get the sense that he's one pitch away from calamity or one pitch away from getting out of it. And I think, yeah, it's hard work being Chris Bassett.
Out of the five starters the Jays have, the only one I'd buy a ticket to watch is Chris. I said buy a ticket. I'm not saying watch. Yeah. I'm saying buy a ticket and go to the actual field, sit in the stands, and watch Chris throw.
I kind of like.
I can watch Kevin Gausman throw 95 with a split finger. I can watch.
I kind of like watching Berríos. Do we have time for one more caller before we break? We'll make time. Especially for Billy and Markham.
Oh.
I know that Cabrera is not one of our better relievers, but when a guy's going good, let him go. He should have came out for the third inning. This is like betting a parlay in gambling. I always tell people, just bet one game. You bet a parlay, a 4 or 5 team parlay. You can catch four of them. The one game you lose a ticket. And it's the same thing here with this one inning guys. Every in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. If a guy's going good for sake, let the guy go. And Cabrera should have came out and pitched.
It's not going to happen.
The two clowns that we had come out yesterday and blow another ball game. It's going to be meaningful. Come September rolling around,
and we're
fighting for that last wild card spot.
I agree with Billy about every game matters because of the way they don't hit. But it's about the up downs. It's about a pitcher throwing that's not used to doing that, going over there and sitting down and doing that two times in an outing. It ain't going to happen. Unless you're used to doing it, the Cabreras, the Jimmy Garcias, the Chad Greens, the Jordan Romano, they ain't happening.
That's not happening.
Can yell and scream at the TV all he wants and says, bring out Cabrera 15 times. It ain't going to happen. That's how they get hurt. And quite frankly, because of the way Tim Mays has been throwing, they need Cabrera. And it's early in the season. I don't like to agree with Jeff a lot, but when he says it's early in the season,
you just finished telling me it wasn't early in the season.
Offensively, it's not. This is a thing.
Well, you can't split say it's early in the season offensively and it's not early in the season pitching. You can't say that.
I just did.
But that's stupid.
It is not stupid.
Okay. Not even a little bit stupid?
No.
Curtis from Taber, Alberta.
Curtis.
Throughout baseball, you hear from very many people who are successful in the game. In order to win a World Series, you need great pitching and people who hit dingers.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, Kevin, you said Dalton Varsho is not a hitter. While our team is in big trouble when our non-hitter probably leads the team in home runs.
He does.
And hits two home runs in one game. That is why the Blue Jays will continuously be a playoff team and never go anywhere in the playoffs. Who in the league do you think the Blue Jays could get to add actual home run power to the lineup? So we have a chance to win a World Series because we have the pitching and the hitting has been failing us for several years now.
Yeah. Pete Alonso for the Mets, Kyle Tucker for the Astros. That's my two guys. They'll never get either one of them because you'd have to give up stuff. And I don't think the Mets will give up Pete Alonso because it's the Mets. And, you know, that guy's given up enough, I think, this year to compete. So he would be a hard get.
I mean, the part of the problem with trying to look at trade partners right now is, you know, the Astros right now are not very good, but they're getting Verlander back. See, I think
offensively they are good though.
Yeah. The Astros are interesting because they've also got Alec Bregman. Alex Bregman is a free agent. I look at the Mets. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Pete Alonso. I'm stunned that he hasn't signed yet. The Mets have got so much money that I would think that if they want to sign Pete Alonso, they'll sign him. You know, there was a guy who just rolled through town, and I looked at him and I said, I would take him on my team in a heartbeat, and I might want to be a little aggressive in who I trade to get him, and that's Ryan McMahon. Thought about Ryan McMahon. I'm looking elsewhere around the game. You know, the dudes on the Cardinals. Yeah, I don't know. It's,
I think you got a bunch of Cardinals on your team already.
Yeah, exactly.
I think people have to remember what the organization has been telling us,
you know,
that whole offseason and spring training.
I'm looking at,
of how they believe in the core.
Yeah,
I think you
got
to remember that.
Yeah, and you know, at some point they're going to have to move off the core. They are.
Well,
I mean, they don't. They
when,
are.
When?
Well, I mean, if it's we've already had this discussion. I would have been really aggressive getting Juan Soto in this year, and
maybe they try.
Anyhow, Luis Robert is hurt. I mean, there are guys out there that you could be realistic about, but it's really hard to, at this stage of the season, try to make fantasy trades with teams. But listen, if you're asking me what would I add, I would add a middle-of-the-order left-handed bat that can play third base.
Yeah, I don't care if he's left-handed. I mean, that's a perfect scenario. I only care if he can hit a homer with the dude standing at second. Like, that's the only thing I care about. Hey, can he give you that at bat when it matters the most? Can he hit velocity out of the yard? They don't do that. This team does not do that.
At what point?
Can you get a guy to do that?
I want to take a break. But at what point, Kevin, if you're the Jays, do you start thinking about Vladdy, who's a free agent at the end of next year? Do you start thinking, maybe I got to look at making a deal that helps me now, but also brings in somebody else's prospect? Like, I'm just throwing out a name. It's not going to happen because they're in the same division, like a Heston Kjerstad from the Orioles. I look at making a deal that helps me now and brings in a prospect. And I'm just saying, you know, and we, by the way, Ricky Tiedemann went in the IL yesterday. So, you know, again, this minor league system doesn't have a great deal of depth in order to make deals. But Curtis, call back in 2 months because we're going to be having this discussion. I guarantee
and
you
I'm
that.
And I'm with Curtis.
I
ask you this, I think, after the game, yes, 2 days ago. Can they make the playoffs with Dalton Varsho leading their team in homers?
Yeah, but he's not going to be leading their team after the weekend. That's a silly question.
Well, you're confident. He can't
hit 25? Of course I'm confident. Shai Davides, our MLB insider at Sportsnet. He's in San Diego. Lucky son of a... Shai Davides joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Sportsnet.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Mary Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Friday. We are back. It's Blair and Barker.
This thing about Friday is...
9:40, first pitch. You staying up for it?
No. I don't have to drive on the highway tomorrow. That's the only thing I care about. Friday.
Let's make a deal. No more highway talk.
It's hard, Jeff.
No more gardener talk.
It's really hard, Jeff.
Well, yeah.
Every once in a while, I need a hug.
Everybody in the city's dealing with it. Everybody in the city's trying to figure out why, when you shut down part of the major east-west expressway in the city, do you insist on shutting down every other freaking road running parallel to it for construction? That's all everybody's wondering.
Not me.
That's all everybody's wondering. Like, nobody plans anything.
Do you feel better? It's hard.
People used to say that Toronto was New York run by the Swiss. Used to. All I'm saying.
Never bring it up again.
Don't, because I don't want to hear any more about it. Everybody out there, there's people right now, 2:30 on a Friday, there's people right now who've been waiting to get through that little patch between Jameson and whatever for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Saying, shut up about the traffic. You don't want to hear about it.
Okay. Don't let it beat you.
If you want to hear about the traffic, go to 680 News. They'll talk about it. They don't come here to talk about traffic. They don't. Well, let's go to one of the luckiest people I know. Shai Davides joins us from San Diego.
Pretty lucky too.
Must be bad weather in San Diego today. Hey,
terrible,
I hear it got down to 73.
it's only like 16 Celsius. Huh? So
wow,
you know, yeah, I feel very gypped.
It's raining here.
I was going to say, how are you going to manage tonight? Yeah. You're going to have to wear a little sweater tonight to the game.
It might be necessary because it's going to like dip to like 8 or 10.
Oh, so my
serious.
God.
Real hardship, guys.
It is. And of course, it's cloudy as hell, right?
Did you pack one? A sweater?
Uh, it, I actually did because I did see that it's going to be cool at night.
Oh, cool. Oh, gee. It'd be awful. Well,
The clouds have burnt off. The sky is now blue, guys.
Yeah, well, suck it up. Yeah. Barker's convinced that they're going to get swept by the Padres, by the way.
What?
It's going to be an interesting series. I don't know that I see a sweep either way, but baseball's weird, right? Anything can happen.
Their pitching's too good to get swept. That's not anything close to what I said. I said there has to be some urgency with the lineup, and it's just how you're mixing in and out the people that are in certain spots in the order, and Jeff took that as they're getting swept. They're never going to win another baseball game.
Well, Kevin criticized me three days ago because when Danny Jansen came back, I said, now that you've got your entire roster for the most part, do you think John Schneider would look at changing the lineup?
No, why would you do that? It's too early. I mean, your top four guys are your core guys. You're not going to change it. Then today, Shahi comes in and goes, if it was me, I'd put Turner in the number two spot. So, I mean, I can't win with this guy.
Mm.
So I can't win with him. Am I here to be a mediator? Is that what's happening?
Well, what would you do?
I like Danny Jansen. I'd like to give him maybe a couple more games, but I don't mind Danny Jansen. Anywhere from five, six, seven. Right now, you're going to hang with your top four, obviously. And the Alejandro Kirk has been in five at times, and Danny Jansen's certainly going to give you that little bit of thump that you like in that spot too. But you know, I think to some degree, the Blue Jays are also figuring out how they work and how their combinations work, right? And you saw it a little bit in that Yankee series where, you know, late in games they were making moves and bringing in different guys in different spots. There was Kevin Biggio getting hit for midway through a game with Ernie Clement when the Yankees brought in a lefty. I'm going to blend the games right now because they all seem like they were sort of one, but I think it might have been on the Wednesday in that series finale. And it raised this question of like, when are the times where you line change with that team? And is it based about opportunities, based on trying to maximize platoon advantage and the maximum number of plate appearances? I think we're still seeing how the Blue Jays are going to go, are going to play that out. And maybe to some extent, they're still figuring out how to best leverage all their pieces together as well.
That's fair.
Shai, I've got a confession to make. I had not gone on Twitter in the past 15 minutes or X or whatever the hell Elon's calling it today. So I'll get back to the Blue Jays in a minute. But Shai tweeted out that top Blue Jays prospect Ricky Tiedemann underwent an MRI yesterday after experiencing left elbow discomfort. He's on the 7-day IL. The club is still awaiting word back from doctors. That's no bueno, Shai.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sort of get too alarmist about it just yet. It could just be the type of discomfort that pitchers do experience. I know because of all the heightened injuries around the game right now and how the flood of them, everyone's mind goes to a bad place right away. But but I just want to reserve judgment. Like, that's all I know at this point is what I shared, is that he did have some discomfort. Anytime someone like a Ricky Tiedemann has any sort of discomfort in the elbow, that they're going to get an MRI on that as a matter of course. So I don't know that necessarily this is leading us to the worst outcome. But yeah, he needs to pitch, and hasn't been able to stay on the field consistently over the past couple of seasons. And so anything that takes him off the mound is counterproductive.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. He's a good kid. Dalton Varsha has been really good. I know you have conversations with him when you're at the field. Have you heard anything? Why the big change? Like, it just looks like his pace is better. He's not thinking about it. You know, sometimes when guys are trying too hard, you can actually see them thinking about how they're trying to put the barrel to the baseball. Here lately, just looks like he's free and easy and look right down the middle. When you get it, don't miss. Is that what you're seeing? Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, a little bit of that. He talked a little bit about just working to change his bat path to the ball a little as well, because he felt earlier in the season that
he liked his approach and the way he was thinking through his at-bats and the way he was hunting, but he just wasn't getting the barrel to the ball quite the way that he wanted to. And so he had some conversations with some teammates, George Springer probably among them, and it was just, so what little tweaks can I make? And he's found something right now that is getting his barrel to the ball in a way where he's able to take advantage of the power, because he's got a lot of power. And one of the things that the Blue Jays locked in on last year was his swing path was producing more pop-ups than it should be. And that took away from some of his power. And so he definitely was on plane during that latter parts of that homestand. He was a major contributor to the Blue Jays during that time. And if he can ride that out and be consistent with it, then he's got a chance to be the type of offensive player the Blue Jays envisioned when they acquired him.
Shai, you know, offensively, sometimes, look, I try to be as positive as I can, but when you see minus 17 run differential and, you know, like, what are they, 22nd and at-bats between homers, like, they just have a real tough time of basically getting velocity in the air. And, you know, we had a caller come on and ask about should they have some urgency on going and making a trade for somebody that can hit home runs. And we don't really know the answer to that, right? We have no idea if they can spend money, if they have anybody they want to trade. Would they trade a core guy? Like, we have no idea about that. Have you heard anything like that? Could there be some urgency when it comes to, you know, going to a team that you maybe they weren't talking to earlier, that maybe gotten off to a slower start, that they can make a trade for? I'm not saying right now, but sooner than later, to come in and actually help this team drive the baseball, make it a little easier for the pitching coach and the manager to always make the right move when it comes to the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be ideal. It's just that you guys know this time of year, it's basically impossible, right?
Yeah.
The early part of the season, everybody's still trying to see what they have and how all the pieces fit together. And I mean, we're still in, you know, sample size randomness territory, right? It's hard to try to read too much into anything at this point. I think one of the challenges in looking at the Blue Jays is that even though it's a different year and there are some different players on the team, everything is happening with 2023 still in your mind. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it, you're like, is this going to be different than 2023? And so far it really hasn't from an offensive perspective. And so I think maybe that's causing the collective us to maybe rush to judgment a little bit faster than we should. There are some things about this offense, particularly in the really strong chase rate, the discipline, the willingness to take walks, that should change a lot of the numbers around this lineup. And that's probably going to need a little bit of runway to sort out. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's not an indicator that there's going to be more damage there and there's going to be a better batting average and there's going to be better production. But generally, if you're disciplined and you're chasing the right kind of pitches and you're taking walks, that's going to result in runs scored. So, you know, I think, again, last year we were kept saying, you know, this hard contact is going to normalize. Eventually that's going to come, and it didn't. So it's possible that this year the discipline doesn't pay off as well. But, you know, we're 3 weeks in. We're still a ridiculous sample. It's hard to sort of rush into samples, into judgment, and teams aren't going to be willing to trade just yet unless you overpay to a stupid degree.
Yeah.
Shai, we saw how that Yankee series ended with, you know, Chad Green not being available because of soreness. And I'm just wondering, understanding you haven't talked to John Schneider yet, and we'll actually talk to him in a couple of minutes, but did you get any sense at all that we may see the Jays make a move with the bullpen? I know you and Kevin talked about it before he came on the show, I believe, and the only way you can get Nate Pearson back up here is if someone goes in the IL, I believe. Do you think there's any chance of that at all happening here?
Well, I would be very curious as to what happened with Chad Green, right? Because Chad Green didn't pitch on Wednesday, wasn't available, was experiencing some shoulder discomfort, soreness, whatever the term was. And you know, I asked John Schneider specifically about that after the game on Wednesday, and he said, well, he's going to get some treatment on Thursday, and then we're going to reevaluate things. So I read between the lines on that, and I don't know this, but I would guess that there was at least a possibility that they'd have Nate Pearson here just in case they have to make a move with Chad Green. Obviously, you want Chad Green to be healthy, but if he's going to need a few days, and this isn't just, okay, a couple of days of rest and he's good, then the way they're set up in the bullpen with Bowden Francis needing to essentially be paired with Yariel Rodriguez because of the workload concerns around him, you almost have to make a move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Blue Jays, unless they were certain that it was going to be a very short stay or just a couple more days, excuse me, before Chad Green was ready, then I feel like they might be forced into a move, even though they might not necessarily want to make one.
Alec Manoah pitches. Is it Saturday? Alec pitches.
I believe it's Saturday.
Okay. What are their expectations for him right now with each of these starts? Do they have a number? Obviously performance would be mm-hmm. great, but do they have a sort of a checklist they're looking at with him? And what might the next step be for Alec? You know, if in fact this start goes okay.
Well, I think the initial one in Dunedin was a bit erratic, and that was, okay, you just got back on the mound. We'll push aside everything else and take the next step. And then the last time out in Buffalo was more consistent with the strikes. You know, from a physical standpoint, everything seems to be checking off well. The quality of stuff is there. Next time out, he's got to start executing a little bit better. I think that's the Blue Jays want to keep on adding pitches, pushing him closer and closer to 100, and he's getting there. I'm not sure the exact number for the next one. I think it might be 80, 85, somewhere in that range. But the execution piece is the one that they need to start seeing a little bit more of. And as soon as he starts pairing all those things, the feeling good physically, the workload buildup, the velocity and quality of stuff matching up with execution, then at that point he's knocking on the door, and then the Blue Jays have some decisions to make.
Shai, really good of you to join us so much. Stay warm in San Diego.
Try. I know it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I know.
I appreciate your thoughts on that. I'll do my best to not revel in that too much.
Just make sure you've got your sunglasses. Where'd you go for a run today? Did you go for a run around the, not around the naval base because you can't go there, but did you go for a run around the bay?
I haven't gone for a run yet because I had to get some work done this morning, but I'm hoping to sneak one in before I get to the ballpark. I just go along the marina here.
Awesome,
man.
It's beautiful.
Have a great run.
Yeah, have fun.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend.
Take care. You too.
Shai Davidi, our MLB insider with Sportsnet. It's just such a great.
I wonder with Alec. Because I know we're up against it here. Yep. I wonder with Alec, what if the five guys are legit, none of them get hurt? What do you do with Alec?
He's employee number, what is it, 6 or whatever? I don't even know what his uniform number is. That's the way I look at it. I don't know. I was going to say maybe he becomes Bowden Francis, but
I mean, they're not gearing him up to be that.
And you don't want him, you want to have some sort of.
Yeah, because it's sink or command. That's what it is. I mean, when Shai was talking there, I've talked to enough people around Alec to know that that's not the graduation point. The graduation is how do you command arm side to a righty and backdoor it to a righty? That's with the fastball.
Yeah.
If he can do that, everything else will take care of itself. Because they think they figured out the velocity and all that stuff with conditioning.
I do find it odd that he's not spending any time around the team in Buffalo. Maybe that's just me. Like, he's pitching, then he's up here. And it's close enough, and he's got access to everything. I just find that really odd.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to know how they handle this.
Yeah. But
because
I don't know.
Once he's ready, he's going to want to pitch in the big leagues, no?
I mean, my thought is that those things generally work themselves out.
That's fair.
But I don't know. If Gausman has, I don't want to say turn the corner, if he's healthy, if Kikuchi stays the same, you're not going to screw with Barrios or Bassett.
Nope.
I don't know. John Schneider's manager of the Blue Jays. You know what? We'll ask him when he joins us. Don Schneider joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.940 will be the first pitch tonight as the Jays start a three-game series against the San Diego Padres in America's finest city. That's what they call it. I do believe they call it America's finest city. Yariel Rodriguez takes the bump for the Blue Jays. Matt Waldron for the Padres. The Padres, after kind of underachieving for the past couple of years, quietly kind of putting it together this year, which is odd considering all the changes they've made and everything.
Yeah. Chata's been good. Tatis Jr.'s been good.
Yeah.
Their pitching's been solid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a good lineup. This is why I love interleague ball now. I think it's tremendous. I am looking forward to seeing the Jays in that ballpark. The Pods are 11-10. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. Their run differential is +12. They're 5-6 at home. It's early in the year, but it should be a terrific series. Let's bring in John Schneider. He is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. John, thanks. Look at that. Look at the background there. Blue sky in San Diego.
I'm a little under the weather. I apologize for that.
That's okay. That's okay. Shai told us it's cold there today, that I believe it got down to 15, or it's at 15 Celsius.
Yeah. Cold. Yeah. Cold. Yeah. It's beautiful here every day.
Matt Waldron, how much of a, I'm not going to say concern, but the fact that the dude throws a knuckleballer, and I think until he threw a knuckleballer last year, we hadn't seen anybody throw it in the majors in like 2 years. How do you approach this game if you're a hitter?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different, obviously, with that pitch. But I think you have to approach it the same way we've been approaching everyone the last couple games, especially at home. It's all about getting a good pitch, getting in the zone, and trying to put a good swing on it. So no matter what the pitch is, it's about getting it in the zone and trying to do some damage. I hate using that word, sorry, damage, but trying to put a good swing on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really no different than anyone else.
John, have you liked the way your lineup 1-9 is looking? You know, obviously Dalton Varsho, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but just as a whole, 1-9, you know, not everybody's the same. Do you like the way, you know, their bats are going, you know, they compete? I think that's the one thing you can take away from every single one of their at-bats is they're not an easy out here lately. Do you like what you're seeing so far?
Yeah, I do. You know, I mean, we've been saying it since spring training to where, you know, it's going to be a collective approach, but everyone's going to be a little bit different in how they go about it. And I think that right now, you know, we're not only seeing a lot of pitches, we're getting the big hits. And I like the way it's kind of rolling out right now from 1-9. Everyone's kind of doing their part and not trying to do too much. So hopefully we can kind of continue to, roll that out on this road trip.
Yeah, John, they don't hit a bunch of home runs, as you well know. Is that a worry for you as a manager? Do you have to try and manage different? I know in the last 7 games you're stealing more bases. You're at 4th in baseball and stolen bases with 6. Like, you can tell you're making an effort just because – you know, sometimes, especially at home, maybe the ball's not carrying. Maybe certain guys are just not, you know, squaring up baseballs. I think you're 22nd in total bases. You're 22nd in at-bats between homers at 38. Like, that's a pretty big number. Is that a worry for you guys? Do you think it's just early and guys are going to get better at that? And the guys that are supposed to hit homers will start hitting them.
Yeah, it's not a worry. But, you know, I don't – by any stretch of the imagination right now, it's – you hate saying it's early, you know, you got some games underneath you, you know, under your belt, but I think that the guys that are going to hit homers are going to hit homers. Now, are we going to, you know, break any league records in home runs? No, I don't think so, not at this rate, but I think guys that are going to hit homers are going to hit their homers. So it's not concerning, you know what I mean? I think guys understand how we're built to win games. And, but at the same time, we still want guys to be dangerous. We still want guys to, you know, understand where there's times to try to, you know, hit the ball with authority. There's times to try to move a guy over. But no, we're not worried about it. Guys that are going to hit him, they're going to hit him. And again, whether it's at home or on the road, I don't really think it has that much of a difference.
John, for a manager, when your team's not hitting homers, especially the first four guys, and the expectations for those first four guys are to hit quite a few home runs, when they're not, is it hard for you to stay out of it? And what I mean by that is, you know, Vladdy with runners in scoring position is not real good. He's getting a lot of chances because of what the bottom order's doing and what the first guy's doing. They're getting on base. They're giving him chances and at-bats with runners in scoring position. He hasn't been real good at that. But Justin Turner has. Right? Is it very hard this time of the season? Because I hate saying the word early. Like, they're professionals. They understand what they are supposed to do and, you know, what they should be doing this time of the year. But is it hard for you as a manager to stay out of that and go, they are what they are in the positions they're hitting in, and that we'll take off and we're going to go as far as they take us?
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, when you look at the top four of our lineup, you're talking about George, you know, Vlad, Bo, and JT, you're talking about really good hitters. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a matter of time. You know, if we can get Vlad or JT or Bo up with runners on base multiple times a game, odds are we're going to do pretty good. So I think it's just a matter of time, really, before they all kind of start clicking. And, you know, it, like you said, it is early. It is early. Mm. I don't like that either, but I mean, we're talking about really good hitters, man. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before they start getting those hits.
Yeah.
John.
They've gotten them, but I mean consistently.
Absolutely.
Right. Have you heard anything on Chad Green? Will there be any further examination needed? And what are the possibilities that we may see another, you know, pitcher with the team in San Diego, just in case?
He was better yesterday throwing at the field. And, you know, we'll see how he is today. There's no plans for any other, you know, testing or anything like that right now. You know, so we'll see how he kind of is after he gets to the ballpark and plays catch and kind of go from there. But no one else is scheduled to meet us, you know, hoping for the, you know, best news out of Chad today, and he's ready to roll.
Yeah, before we start moving on with the pitching, I want to sort of clean up the hitting. And there is a guy that's raking. Like, Dalton Varsho looks like – I think his pace is really good, John. Like, just it's not – it doesn't look robotic. I don't know about what you're seeing, but I used to be one of those robotic guys. You work so hard off the field, you're trying to make sure it translates on the field, and you just want to make sure that every part is where it was when I was off the field and the ball was ending up where, you know, you ultimately want it to end up. What are you seeing from him? What do you like from him? And any chance, because of the way he's hitting, you might move him into that five spot again and sort of let him help out when it comes to runners in scoring position, those kind of things?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Var, you kind of hit the nail on the head, Kev. I mean, he's moving very efficiently. He's giving himself time to do some really good things with his swing. Something he's been working on for a long time, off-season, spring training now. You know, him and G and Donnie in particular have been really working on that. And like you said, it's not robotic. He's moving very well. This is kind of what Dalton can do. And I think that, you know, we understand that. And, you know, it's really starting to show. He hits the ball extremely hard. And he's had a really good homestand. You know, he had a good handful of games. And people kind of forget that he had a really good spring training, too, doing this. And then you get off to a slow start and 15 at-bats, and everyone says, what happened? But this is kind of what Varsha's been doing. And and thrilled that he's getting the results right now. So the second part of your question, yeah, he's hitting fifth tonight.
Nice. Glad I asked.
Do we have what are the plans for Yariel tonight? Will they be any different than than his first start?
I don't think so. It'll be roughly the same. We're going to try to continue to build him up, but without getting him into, you know, 100 pitches, that kind of thing. So when you talk about pitch count, yeah, it'll be a little bit more. But we'll just see how he is. We'll see how he's going. You know, what his stuff is doing and how he's responding to this lineup. It's a good lineup here, and kind of react accordingly. But the fact that he has a few more pitches to work with in terms of pitch counts tonight is a good thing.
Yeah, John, I ask around about him, you know, with Petey and stuff, about the arm angles and those kind of things. And you look at what he did there, the 3 2/3 inning, the 68 pitches. I'm assuming that you know, if you're wanting to dig into anything, I know he threw strike one 69% of the time. That's really good. League average is right around 61%. So if you're doing anything above that with the stuff that he has, with the multitude of pitches that he has. But is there anything that's sort of refining start to start, right? If he's got 70 pitches, you'd love to see that 70 pitches go further than 3 2/3. Is there anything that right. one specific thing that you're looking for, whether it's the timing of that slow little leg kick or the arm angles or maybe where the catcher sets up? Is there sort of any one little thing that you may see or like to see further, yep. which would make him better?
Yeah, I mean, good question. It's not one specific thing. You know, he's got great stuff. I think right now we're still in the process of him figuring out what his stuff does, you know, in relation to one another, you know, his pitches, you know. So I think it's just about kind of how he deploys them. You know, you hate, you know, saying it like that, but I mean, he's got good stuff. It's not anything really. It's just about how can I maybe, you know, mix these pitches together a little bit more efficiently and get a little bit deeper into games. That's kind of what we're talking to him about. But it has nothing to do with stuff or action on the stuff. You know, we're really excited about what he has and what he can do. So just trying to really stay on the attack and try to get it done a little bit quicker.
John, with Jordan Romano, is there anything you'd like to see from him or hear from him that would give you confidence in him that would allow you to use him back-to-back days?
Yeah, I think just where we are now in relation to where he was, you know, just a few days ago. You know, I think that this was kind of part of the plan with him and with Swanee, to where you get him into a game against New York off day and then kind of have him ready to roll. But in talking to Jordan and talking to Eric, you know, they're ready for it. Would have loved if they were one of them was available or one more was available on Wednesday at home. But they're ready for it, and they knew this is part of the process. So don't need to hear anything else from them.
Last question before he lets you run. Alek Manoah is going to start a AAA. What are the expectations for him? And, John, if it goes according to Hoyle, what would be the next step for Alek?
Yeah, I mean, expectations for him are just go, you know, we want him to be effective and efficient, you know, and that sounds very broad, but that's exactly what we told him before he left. And he knows what that looks like. We know what that looks like. You know, it's just we want to see 80 pitches in the sixth inning as opposed to the fourth or fifth. You know, we want to see his stuff in the zone and attacking hitters. So that's kind of what his stuff is back. His stuff is there, you know, and I think him using it appropriately is the next step. And that leads to the efficiency. And then after, you know, this one, it's kind of wait and see, you know, wait and see where we are, wait and see where he is. Performance is part of it right now for Alek. He knows that, and kind of make another decision in a few days, you know? So, that's kind of it. It's very open-ended and, you know, excited to see what he does tonight.
John, last one, honestly, before we let you go, with Eric Swanson, you mentioned Eric Swanson and sometimes I think people, because he's not a super hard thrower, really don't know what you're looking for as a fan or say as an ex-catcher like you are, or his manager or his pitching coach. Sort of, I think the question is, how do you know when he's good? And how will you know sort of, you know, that inning to use him in when, you know, there's some unpredictability there? I think is there a certain thing that will tell you that he has got his great stuff and you can throw him no matter where you're at in an order?
Yeah. Well, you know, for one, you know, we, in a perfect world, he's not pitching the ninth inning on Wednesday, be Yimmy or it'd be Chad or Jordy if they were available. But I think when he's good and it's hard, he, you know, it's, you see the velo, it's 93-94, hides the ball really well. It's coming from a really weird angle with Swanee, and you put that heater with a split that's basically in the zone. It's really, really tough to adjust as a hitter. So different than Gausman's split, you know, Gauss is more of a chase, you know, but I think with Swanee, he's throwing it in the zone, and it's tough to adjust when that thing is going this way and his heater is going that way. And it's just, you know, very, very deceptive. So that's when we know he's good. You know, his track record speaks for itself. His trust level is way high for me, for Pete, for us. So it's, you know, it's about putting him in the right spots. And, you know, we're confident he's going to get the job done.
Nice.
Is that a battleship behind you?
It is. kind of cool, right?
It is.
Yeah, it is. That's awesome. I was noticing it over your. Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go. Battleship.
There you go. Well, there's a
beautiful.
There's a ship beside you, John. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much for this, man. Be well and rest the voice.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Sorry about the voice. Thank you, guys. Good catching up. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Absolutely. Travel safely.
Bye.
That is John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays. You see that little ship in the
sky? Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to throw the Swanson question in there because I wanted him to answer why he used him. That's the whole point. That's the conversation, right? Is I wanted people to understand what is going through why you use certain people in certain situations. It's not always because you want to. It's because you don't have a choice, right? And sort of I think the answer he's giving you is in when I talk to him and I talk to other people that are around John and I talk to Pete Walker, it's sort of they try to solidify the ninth inning. So if you don't got three or four dudes that you rely on to pitch the ninth and the eighth inning, you sort of have to pick a guy that you could put in the ninth inning, and then you work backwards.
Yes.
And I think that's sort of what he did, right? By getting him up in the eighth inning, told everybody what they needed to know that Chad Green was not available. Yeah. So I think that's sort of – it's one thing for me to say it. It's another thing for somebody else to tweet things of why Chad Green's not doing this. It's another thing to hear the manager say it. So I wanted to make sure I got that in there so people would understand, right, sort of – the certain guys that I think he really relies on in the eighth and the ninth inning because of who he's got now is probably not always going to be Eric Swanson. And there's nothing wrong with that. You need those guys that you can mix in, you know, the sixth to seventh and occasionally the eighth because you don't have certain guys. I just think that's intriguing. And there's a lot that goes into it. It's just not you sitting over there trying to figure out a way to screw the game up. It doesn't always work.
No, and we also have to bear in mind that as much as – you know, we talk about analytics and how I have a little bit of fun with it. I would say you're probably a little more strident than I am with it. But as much as we talk about analytics, not every decision is analytically based. Sometimes a dude does come up to you and go, Skip, I can't go today.
Yeah.
And again, what do we talk about? Be honest with me. Don't make me look bad. If you can't go, let me know. And I can guarantee you that John Schneider or Pete Walker, they know who's good to go. And before the game, they go, hey, are you good to go today? And every game, absolutely.
I know for a fact that Pete Walker, that is sort of his pregame ritual, is to walk around every guy that is available and say,
are you really available?
Yeah, it's just not – doesn't have anything to do with how many days separation between outings.
Yeah.
It has to do with sometimes a dude just don't feel good, and they need to know that. That's what I said. Going into games, you sort of try to solidify the ninth. If we have the lead here, we'd rather pitch this guy because he's done it before. I don't want to get a Cabrera in there. I don't want to get a Mays in there. I sure don't want a Bowden Francis in there.
Yep.
And you have to work up to that inning and sort of work backwards from there. So it's just it's good to let fans hear that from the actual guy that's making the decision. And that's why I wanted to throw that question.
Dalton Varsho hitting fifth tonight.
Yeah, it makes sense. You joke around about the first four guys, and I just think when guys aren't getting it done, and I'm sure you'll start to see John do this, right? They're putting a lot on the plates of the first four guys. And I'm sure Vladdy keeps hitting .143 with runners in scoring position, and Justin Turner's hitting over .300 in that situation, and the bats are more in the two hole, you will see adjustments. I know John well enough to know, we've seen it.
Yeah.
He will make the adjustments.
So, I mean, I made a point before the Yankee series that I would love to see a little more hate in the AL East. Like to see a little more back and forth in the AL East. Maybe it happens. Maybe it happens at some point. As I said, I think Juan Soto's going to get under somebody's...
I think he already has.
He's going to get in somebody's grill at some point. And that'll be great fun.
It will be.
But... you know, and Aaron Judge was here last year, and we saw the sideways glance.
Fish eyeing.
Oh, the fish eyeing. I still don't get, but anyhow.
You don't look.
Well, no, I get it, but I mean,
fish
it's like, why does only fish do
that?
Yeah,
yeah, because you ain't going to turn your head. You're going to fish eye the guy standing at first base. Yeah, but, like, it's like you don't want to be, if fish, I make it obvious by okay, turning
anyhow,
my head.
Yeah, I was, anyhow, whatever.
You didn't get it, so I had to explain
well,
it to
Well, I know
you.
What it is. I just don't know why they call it fish eye. It's like cider.
You ever seen a fish do it?
Well, no, fish don't have heads.
Okay, whatever, move on.
Anyhow, actually, they do have heads.
It's just like,
the point is that this was said during the Yankees broadcast on Wednesday by Michael Kay and Flash and John Flaherty. This is on the Yes Network broadcast. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is because I said, you know, they like to have a little bit of aggro with the Yankees, and it's not there. And, you know, even the Judge stuff last year, that kind of died. Could Michael Kay and John Flaherty be deliberately planting a seed of aggravation in this series? This is what they said on Wednesday.
You know what's curious to me, though, John? We just saw Blue Jays in the Bronx, and what we watched was a completely different team than the one we've seen here in Toronto. The one in New York did not foul off the amount of pitches that this team does. It's like it's a different team in this ballpark. Now, home field advantage, there is something to that, but why would it manifest itself in the ability to foul off tough pitches?
Well, and you think about Carlos Rodon last night. He had a good fastball, right? I mean, he had good stuff last night and just had a tough time putting away certain hitters in that Blue Jay lineup.
The pause at the end is the best.
Now, you could understand it if, okay, the next time you see them after you saw them in the Bronx was a month and a half later. Well, this is a week later, and it's a completely different approach and a completely.
So there you go. The suggestion is
that somebody's giving them the sign.
Somebody's,
I mean, say it out loud. That's exactly what they're trying to say. Obviously, yeah. Those two have had conversations with somebody in the clubhouse.
Of course.
Somebody said why, or I'm sure it's one of the pitchers.
Yeah, of course.
That has said why they fouling it off. They haven't been fouling that ball. Previous hitters have not been fouling it off.
Did you check the garbage
Why is this team doing that? That's nonsense. I mean, the Blue Jays are having trouble. Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, they're. Hey, look, this is what I think. Again, we talk about them not being able to hit homers. They're not hitting homers because they're having trouble with velocity. It's a 1-9 thing. I mean, there you could sprinkle in a couple of guys who are having success off of velocity, but it ain't many. That's for me why they're fouling that off. They know Rodon. Rodon's had a little trouble finishing guys off anyway most of the year. That's why his pitch counts went way up. Like, he's effectively wild. It's all over the place. He's a very hard thrower, and you got to let that thing travel with two strikes. So, yeah, look, I think it's, yeah, you know, it's the Yankees and you
well,
know.
It's good. I'm glad people are doing it. I mean, you know, the Yankees the players aren't going to do it. Yankees, let the media do it.
The Yankees are perfect, you know.
It's, I see. Now you're getting a little.
Yeah, they're
getting
perfect.
Upset. I just think it's good, clean fun. You know, it's boys being boys stuff. Huh. Yeah, it's good, clean fun.
I like how they started it. I wonder. Yeah, you wonder.
You know.
I
why don't you just say, you know, Aaron Boone said that in the fourth inning, you guys should talk about this. Rodon told me. While you guys are on the air, if you're looking to fill time. Anyhow,
no way.
I love me that's Michael Kay and Flat. No, that's good. That is
like the,
good.
Like the Yankees, you know, you're never supposed to fell off a pitcher for the Yankees.
It's good fun. I said it because I wanted you to explain why the Jays fouled off so many.
Because they're having trouble with velocity. They guess quite a bit. I mean, they got as many khakis as the Yankees do. Like, they're game planning, trying to figure out who throws what and what count and that kind of thing. But you mentioned the Soto thing. If I'm a catcher, I'd get tired of that.
What?
That taking that pitch and turning around and ask the umpire. You know, basically he's saying, you know who I am, right? If I take it, it's a ball. I'm a veteran catcher, I'm tired of that.
You know what?
Like, I'm starting something. What I'm trying to say.
What I like about him.
You do?
What I like about Soto.
That he hits the ball to the moon.
I like that he hits the ball to the moon. Yeah. I also like the fact that, you know, I like the nod looking out at the pitcher. Good pitch.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, again, I got to ask this question, and it's a serious question. You giving that dude $500 million to walk? Because a lot of the times he looks like he's trying to walk. I give it.
I'm giving that
guy. You giving that guy that much money?
I'm giving that guy $500 million.
Well, yeah. I mean, he ain't a very good defender either. So, well, are you?
Tough. I'm giving that guy half.
We'll see.
I stick him in left field, and he can be a bad defender. I don't know if I necessarily want him in right field. I'll stick him in left field. The ball's over your head in left field half the time. It's fine, anyway. Yeah. Now, you know, look who his agent is. His agent is Scott Boras. We all know what's happened lately. Maybe he doesn't get $500 million. Maybe he settles for $435 million.
He gets more than Trout.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's younger.
He's a better player than Trout.
But. You know as well as I do.
Well, okay.
No. You know as well as I do. He's younger. Age matters.
I think it's all about the suitor, right? It's when you got the two New York teams trying to get you, and you got those two battling for one guy.
Well,
that's how you get more than Trout.
We don't know if you talk to people. We don't know if the Yankees are going to try to re-sign him, or how serious they're going to be trying to re-sign him.
This is what I think. I think they're going to have a tough time giving him more money than Cole or Judge.
Or Judge, yes.
Yeah. That's what I think. And he's going to be asking for more.
9:40 is the first pitch tonight. The Jays are taking on the San Diego Padres. Mark Grant is a Padres TV analyst and a former MLB pitcher. He's one of our favorites. He's going to join us. We're going to talk to him about Matt Waldron and this knuckleball thing and how big a deal it is. And Barker's not worried about it. We'll see what Mark Grant says. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.9:40 Eastern Time will be the first pitch tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet, as the Toronto Blue Jays begin a three-game series against the San Diego Padres, part of a seven-game road trip that will take them from San Diego to Kansas City and then back to Toronto to face the Los Angeles Dodgers in a week's time. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in our next guest. He's Mark Grant, Padres TV analyst, former MLB pitcher. Mark, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. We trust that you're doing well. You got your Johnson and Chiefs jersey on.
Oh, nice.
Charlestown, yeah. Putting on the foil.
Yeah, you're such a hockey guy. You're such a hockey guy.
I love puck. I always have. Real quick before we get in, If I had to do it all over again, I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Joliet, Illinois. I played all three sports as a freshman. Gave up the other two to play baseball. But if I had to go back in the time machine and do it all over again, hockey would have been my winter sport.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome.
I should have played hockey.
You should have.
You have a hockey player's mentality,
you
right?
You do. You look like a hockey player, too.
I played peewees as a kid, and I was a defenseman. So, I kind of, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Tough guy.
I mean, look at those forearms.
They're huge. Man, that's crazy.
You're holding a baseball, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because Barker's got a question for you about tonight's starter.
Yeah, with Waldron tonight, when I was looking up what he – there it is. When I was looking – yeah, but he doesn't abuse that. Like, it's not like if I'm a hitter, I'm going to go up and look for that. And he's got four other pitches that he throws. You know, I looked it up. He throws the knuckleball 36% of the time, and he's got four other that he throws about the same amount of time. My question would be, if you were giving advice to the Jays, could I just go up there and ignore the knuckleball and look for one of his other pitches?
Well, good question. And Matt Waldron has said this. He's not a knuckleball pitcher. He is a pitcher with a knuckleball, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, Kevin, you made the reference to the usage. It's kind of gone up a little bit with time. Recently, it's been kind of having like too much rotation on it, so it kind of just rolls up there. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, I'm sure you've hit against knuckleball guys. So the less rotation, more wind resistance, more dancing. But you know what? That's a good question. If I was a hitter, like any breaking ball for a pitcher, and you could tell me this, if he's throwing a breaking ball, his secondary pitches, and he can't land it for a strike, I'm probably just going to eliminate it from the arsenal and look for the old number one. Now, Waldron has shown some progress to where when he's 93. Mm-hmm. He can get a little fuzz there. He's not like a knuckleball pitcher who tries to dot his fastball down and away at like 86, 87. He's got some fuzz too, which is good. So I guess the mentality as a hitter is, hey, you know what? Prove to me that you could land this But then on the flip side then is if he gets ahead with that or that, and then he drops this right here, I mean, then you got to protect. And it's like, if he's anywhere close, all bets are off, I would think.
Yeah, it's the overthinking it. And now listening to you talk, if you're saying this, I can't imagine what the Blue Jays are sitting in their clubhouse in their locker room going, you know, he's got five different ones. He throws his knuckleball. How am I going? Like, it's just your head's going to pop off when, you know, as well as anybody. They don't see ball, hit ball anymore. It's like you got to look window. You got to look window that's moving. Like, you got a certain velocity when, if it was me, I'm looking right down the middle for one of the three fastballs he throws because I can't hit the knuckleball. If he throws a good one anyway, you ain't hitting it. And it put me in a slump, so I'm just not looking for it. But it's never that simple.
Yeah, it isn't. And Kevin, I marvel at each and every game when hitters, I mean, these perennial hitters, these guys who are hitting 300 every year, even 280, 290, how they square baseballs up consistently for hits.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me, because I watch every game. I mean, it seems like there's no such thing as a fastball count anymore. Everything's spinning up there. Cutters, sliders, curveballs. You can't sit 2-0 fastball anymore unless you've got a guy who's blowing 98 to 100 and can locate. Maybe you see one of those guys, but I tell you what, it's become a spin league. That's what I see.
Yeah, and you know the bad part of that is, too, is not a lot of guys can hit velocity. So if I even get in a fastball count, if I can't hit velocity, now what do I do? Like, do I take it? You know, now I let them back in the count. Now they can throw the back foot stuff. Like, they can change speeds. It's a very tough thing. Before we let Jeff jump in there, because I know he's itching to get in and over here, he's very quiet, and that's rare about him being quiet. You know, Tatis Jr.'s gotten off.
The conversation.
Well, Tatis Jr. gotten off to a good start, right? He's sort of the five-tool guy. You know, he's had a really good week. What's he doing well, and can he maintain this and be a pain in the butt for everybody in the National League?
I think he can, and Fernando has come a long way, not only offensively but defensively. You know, here's a kid who was brought up as a shortstop, played a shortstop position in the big leagues, caused some waves, made some great plays, made his name known as a shortstop. Then we're going to send you to right field. He had the mentality that spring training, they sent him out there, said, I'm going to take it upon myself to be the best. And what do you know? He ended up winning a platinum glove. He just got better and better and better. Using the whole field like this whole team, Jeff and Kevin, this whole concept, or this, I shouldn't say concept, maybe a concept, but philosophy of this Padres team this year has been really fun to watch. Situational type hitting. Guys just aren't coming out of their shoes, you know, in a hitter's count. We're going first to third. Like I have anything to do with this team. They're going from first to third, hitting a lot of singles, but I tell you what, being aggressive on the base path. So like Fernando, what's he doing well? You know what? The home runs will come, but I tell you what, just avoiding strikeouts and putting the ball in play. I think that's been the whole MO of this Padres team.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Padres were 9-11 in spring training. And I spoke to a friend of mine who was doing some scouting out in Arizona. And I just asked him a general question, you know, what'd you see that really impressed you? What do you like? Who do you have a good feeling about? He said, you know what? I know they don't have Soto. He said, I know they don't have Blake Snell. But he said, man, I really like what the Padres are doing. And then he embarked into about a 20-minute discussion of Jackson Merrill. Tell us what we should look for from Jackson Merrill, because this will be the first time we've seen him in person.
Yeah, well, a very happy birthday to Jackson Merrill. He turns 21 today.
Wow.
And yes, I tell you, he's fun to watch. Here's another shortstop who went to center field. I think he played one or two games to the left, then they moved him over to center field. What you can find is a kid who's very athletic. He's got a great idea at the plate, knows the strike zone. Not a power guy, but he's a guy who's got good bat-to-ball skills that I think the pop will come. Certain situations, maybe certain counts. But a guy who uses the whole field. This kid is very, very confident, too. And I know you guys have been around the baseball and other sports. You know, there's a difference between a guy being, you know, very, very cocky and not, the guy who cares.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cocky. Just let, my ability is going to tell you. No. Jackson Merrill is confident, and he is a gamer. He is baseball 101, and he wants to learn. He wants to get better. You guys know that when athletes have it, I think Jackson Merrill has it. Covers great ground at center field. He's going to make some nice plays and put together good at-bats. He'd been batting down in the order, which I think is a very crucial part of the order, because he took it upon himself. Oh, I'm batting ninth. Okay, he didn't let his ego step in the way. He's going to contribute. The big key for him is flipping that order.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting ninth, maybe two outs to get to the top of the order. So maybe one, two, and three can do some damage. So I think you're going to see a complete player. He's also he's a good kid. He wants to learn. He wants to get better.
With all the focus on the Dodgers in that division, has that been good for the Padres, actually?
Mm-hmm. Great
question. They're kind of really under the radar this year? I mean, on the you got the National League champion Diamondbacks in the same division.
Sure. Absolutely. No question about that. I think the Padres are a team to be reckoned with, although the Dodgers are the team to beat in the West. And I think the Padres early on have proven, and once again, the season is young. The Dodgers are in first base. The Padres are maybe a game out. But they have proven that they can hit against their pitchers. They're just as good defensively, the Padres are. Fundamentally sound as the Dodgers are. They took two out of three at Dodger Stadium. I know the Padres didn't see glass now, but Gavin Stone was really throwing well. He threw the ball extremely well, so they got some good pitching. But, you know, even the late-inning guys, the Padres put together some pretty good at-bats against the Dodgers. We have yet to play the Diamondbacks, but that's a team that's young, energetic. I mean, that was proven last year with the team Torey Lovello had. But I think more focus on the Padres. I think so, especially with the way they've started. There was a lot of people, I think, in spring training, guys, that kind of questioned, you know, with the way the roster is going to be constructed and with the starting pitching. And I don't know whether this was on your checklist, but when they acquired Dylan Cease before we went to Korea, everybody was like, oh, my gosh, what this does to a rotation mm-hmm. is just magnificent. So Padre fans couldn't be happier with Dylan Cease in the rotation.
How about the new manager, what he brings? You know, it just seemed like when you watched the Padres last year, for whatever reason, I hate to say they didn't look like they were having fun, because when you're making tons of money, you know, you clean it up and force yourself to have fun. But it just didn't seem like they were all connected and wanted the same goal. How about that?
Yeah.
Has the new manager helped that part of it and just made the atmosphere around the team better?
You know what? The general consensus is that a lot of guys on the team are happy. Not that they weren't unhappy last year. I mean, there's a lot of variables that go on in the clubhouse. I mean,
sure.
I love Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin is a very good manager. Only managers can do so much to get a team clicking. And a lot of people forget what happened the year before, you know, going to the NLCS. And then the next year, things just didn't come to fruition. Mike Schilt is a very good communicator. Bob Melvin was a very good communicator. But you guys know as well as anybody, you get a new voice in there. You get a guy who's got a good reputation as far as when he was with the Cardinals, Mike Shield. The word on the street was that, you know, players loved him. They loved playing for him. And I think when it comes down to fundamentals, I just see this team, you know, credit the coaching staff, the hitting coaches. I have seen a drastic change in just the approaches to strike hitting, situational type hitting. So it filters down from Mike Shildt, who's doing a great job, and also the coaches as well. They're prepared as anybody.
Yeah, to your point, they lead baseball and run scored. Like, it's a big deal, right? You want to choke up. You'd rather hit the ball the other way than punch out. How about Machado? Like, you know, there's on the Blue Jays team, there's a guy that plays first there, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., that we talk about all the time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's just supposed to carry the world, and it's sometimes, I think, a little unfair. But I think Machado is a little sort of the same way. Just the everything that goes into defense, attitude, sort of like the right-handed Soto, right? It's like, you, how dare you throw me in? If I take it, it's a ball. Like, it's just, you know, how's he been? I know he's hitting well. He's got, you know, in the week span, you know, this early in the season, you look at a small sample size. It's not what they've done the entire time. It's like a week's worth of sample size, and he's starting to hit, and I think just his presence. What's he bringing, and how much does he mean to this team going where they want to go?
I marvel at what Manny does each and every day. And this is a guy who's only DHing right now because he's still nursing that surgery he had on his elbow. So defensively, he could probably be back there later this month. But here is a guy who didn't start off well, and he was the same Manny Machado. I mean, he's been around the block, what, 8, 10 years, mm-hmm. or 6, 8, 10 years now. Manny knows he's good. He knows he's going to turn it around. He's got one of the sweetest right-handed swings in baseball. And guys, I tell you what, he is so smooth at the plate that I think other guys, they say, gosh, how does this guy do it? He squares more balls up. But I think Manny is also a guy who, when he speaks, people listen. Because Manny kind of, the way I know him, and mm-hmm. I'm not in the clubhouse every day, I have little spurts of, you know, conversations with Manny here and there. Hey, what's going on? All right, don't forget the eggs and the milk. he plays the game the right way. He plays hard. He answers the bell. He wants to play every day. So yeah, Manny, you know, when he speaks, people listen, and the way he carries himself in the dugout, in the clubhouse, goes a long way. And I think Manny, in a nutshell, when he gets back defensively at third base and also swinging the bat, I think it's going to obviously help the club tremendously.
Yep. Mark, listen, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. Great to see you, and be well. And,
yeah, stay warm.
We'll do this again.
Well, I heard there's a cold front, so stay warm in San Diego.
John Schneider told us it was cold today.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It's beautiful here today. It's clear. It's sunny. The palm trees are waving in the wind. I don't know if you can see it, but
yeah, it's terrible.
Hey, I love Toronto. Good city.
Nice.
Great people. Great fans. Hey, how's the Rogers Center looking, by the way, after all the
construction? Beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It is nice.
Is it?
Except the ball don't carry. Hitters don't like it.
They also they put in something that sucks all the home runs out of the game, though, unfortunately. So it's not like the good old days. We're learning to embrace run prevention in Toronto, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Run prevention.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Be well, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Be well. See you.
It's Mark Grant, Padres TV analyst. Terrific. That's how he was as a player, too, to talk to as a pitcher. He was great, great post-game interview.
Yeah.
Padres have shortstops all over the place.
Yeah.
Every position player, with the exception of catcher, I think, is a shortstop.
Athletes, that's how you run prevent. And then on top of it, their best players are being their best players.
They are.
Which is... I hate to keep bringing it around to the Blue Jays, but that's what the front office has been yelling and screaming about this team is. The best players for the Jays got to be their best players. And this is why the Padres lead the league in runs scored is because they're best players.
If you look at their numbers with runners in scoring position, their runners, I mean, just all the sort of the underlying offensive numbers of the Padres are really, really good. And we didn't even ask Mark this, but Josh Hader's gone. The guy they have replacing him, Robert Suarez, has been lights out. They're fun. No, they are a fun team. And you know what? I mean, they're kind of – I've always kind of had a soft spot for the Padres. They're kind of a –
because they're in the same division with the Dodgers. That's why you have a soft spot.
Yeah, that's true, because I hate the Dodgers.
Well, because they get their tails kicked all the time, and they lose the division by like 25
games. It's a great city. It's a great ballpark.
Wonderful.
And they are fun to watch. I haven't seen them that much this year, but I've seen one game. I think they're really fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to this series. I really am. It'll be a good test for
It's going to be a handful. Like, they're going to have to – I just think it's funny that Mark was saying, when in doubt, don't swing hard. I mean, everybody you talk to a man. When I was in the clubhouse walking around with the Blue Jays asking hitters, when you get in them counts – don't stay within yourself. Stay in the big part of the field. Don't get frisky and think you're going to hit a ball to the moon to the pool side. That do damage. Why do you think John was saying? Saying the do damage part.
Let me ask you a
You're starting to tamper that down a little.
Let me ask you a real dumbass question.
I'm sure.
Why is it so hard to do that?
Because you're struggling.
Yeah, my point is
it's not
so
easy.
When you struggle, you
do anything, any sport. Well,
try harder.
Well, it's okay. Give it the old college try. Nobody says don't try so much.
Throttle it back a bit.
Don't do that so much. Don't do it so hard. Don't swing so hard.
Yeah, but my point is this is not a young team.
It's not.
Nothing else has worked. At some point, wouldn't you say, you know, maybe there's something to this?
Yeah,
maybe
I think the couple of guys that you're counting on are trying to get paid. I think there's something to that.
Well, we talked. O'Dowd said when we had him on. I mean,
you know, I don't think they're paying for hits anymore. I don't think they are.
What did Dan say about multi-year contracts like the one Bobby Witt had? They create freedom, not expectations. Yeah,
there's something to that. I'm not making excuses for them. I mean, they're still making a decent living. Like they ain't, they're all homeless. But still, like you know, there's much money is being spent in the big leagues and how they're spending it and how they're giving it to certain guys for doing certain things.
There's nothing wrong with me. You know what? There's nothing wrong with having your best players be happy.
And how you make people happy?
Money.
Is one word.
People are.
That's what I said.
People
this
hate
is what,
hearing that, but it is
true. I ask you the same question. I'll continue to ask it. How's it get better? Because they ain't paying either one of them dudes this year. How's it get better, Jeff?
I have.
Because they don't have the answer. I've asked. They don't. Continue to do what you're doing. Like, it's all insanity.
The only, honestly, you know,
like, how does it get better? You know, this is my point. This is why we were saying it in the only season. Way. Bring in two Turners. Yeah.
The only way it gets better.
That have been paid already.
The only way it gets better is if, in addition to Gossman and Bassett being good, Jose Berríos becomes a Cy Young finalist.
It's hard to do
I
that.
I know, but I'm saying that you're asking me how does
it's
it get better?
It's hard to run prevent. It's hard.
I know.
And it's boring.
But where...
I'm talking about the offensive side. I'm talking about the everyday guys.
I mean, I don't know where the I listen.
They'll be better players and they'll be their best self if they're hitting. Yeah. It doesn't work the other way. Like, you don't know, you know, Bo's not going to be an elite defender if he ain't hitting. It ain't worked that way. Vladdy the same way. So you need to hit first. I just don't know how it gets better. I don't want to be the guy, but how does it get better?
Should we read anything into the fact? Now, again, John Schneider told us Dalton Varsho is hitting fifth tonight, which is great.
Yeah. Awesome.
But
thanks, John.
Yeah.
But I could have told him that.
In his last two games, all right, Dalton Varsho is homered off a lefty.
Yeah.
He got a big hit off a lefty. It was a double.
Yeah.
What does he, try to figure out how to ask this. What do you expect from him against a left-handed pitcher versus against a right-handed?
I think you got to be careful how much you use him.
All right.
I know everybody's yelling and screaming, well, you know, home run all one day. It doesn't work that way.
Well, no, we had that discussion.
He's not a great hitter. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not a great, he's a very streaky home run exit velocity guy. And it's in small samples. You want to maximize the sample, and it's not always against lefties. Like, just because he does it one game don't mean you're going to throw him out there the next game.
You'd be concerned.
It just doesn't work that way.
Would you be concerned that he's facing a knuckleballer?
I'd be concerned he's hitting fifth.
You're not surprised.
That's a run-producing spot. Ain't seventh, yeah. It ain't eighth.
What does that suggest? That really suggests
they're
to you
searching.
That they're begging. Yeah, they're begging.
Well, you wouldn't. I just read you these numbers. I can read them to you again. 22nd total bases, 22nd at bats between homers at 38. Orioles are first at 21 per homer. That means they hit a homer 17 at bats fewer than the Jays do. They're 28 in average and runners in scoring position at 204. They're last in homers and runners in scoring position with a whopping one. The Orioles have eight. They're in first. They're minus 17th run differential. Like, these things, it's like Groundhog Day. Like, again, this is my point. Like, if this is... This will fluctuate. Like, and I will say this. You asked me the question a week ago about what do you do with the first four guys? If the guy hitting second ain't getting it done, hitting 143 with runners in scoring position with a whopping zero homers, and the guy hitting cleanup is doing better than he is, and you're getting more bats in the two-hole, guess who's hitting in the two-hole?
Do you think we...
It's as simple as
do
that.
Do you think we're on the verge of seeing that happen?
I would hope so. You hope so. It's about winning.
Okay.
Their team's not good enough to go on these long winning streaks if you don't maximize every dude. Just it's a small sample size. It ain't weeks at a time. It's like a real small, if 3 or 4 days this guy's raking, this guy's hitting second. If that guy hitting second, like it ain't feelings anymore. It ain't about getting a guy paid. It's about winning games. And your offense ain't getting it done consistently.
So would you – Yeah, we're
John seems we're to think it's early, but it ain't early.
It's early.
It ain't early. This has been going on since June of last year.
What would you do with Vladdy then?
Hit him clean up. I don't know. I ain't moving, Bo. I don't care. Show me you can drive fastballs in the air to the poolside. Until then, if I got a guy that's better than you, I'm going to play him, hit him right there. Khakis will tell you, and I just looked it up. He has more bats than anybody at 21, hitting in the two-hole with runners in scoring position. The next guy is, I think, Kirky with 18.
Yeah,
I'm hitting. If he continues to hit under 200, your lineup's just right now. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. It ain't good. So you have to maximize what is good. And Turner's really good. And Varsha's really good. They're moving Varsha because he's good.
940 will be the first pitch tonight. Yariel Rodriguez. Against Matt Waldron. Jose Berríos against my favorite pitcher to be confirmed on Saturday. Chris Bassitt against Joe Musgrove on Sunday afternoon. That is it for us. We will be back Monday from 2 to 4 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 Fan of Sportsnet. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the baseball.